prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution, where faith and reason meet.
Coexist.
I am Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Revolution Church, we would love to have you out here.
Yes.
This is where we're all about mercy. We talked about untamed mercy last week. We want to forgive people, help them experience the love of God no matter what they've been through.
Right. We want to reiterate that was actually during the sermon that we talked about, untamed mercy.
During the radio show last week, we started talking about heaven, and we're going to continue to talk about heaven this week because this is part two, Dave.
It is.
And we had a lot to talk about, and so we had 18 pages of information.
It's really exciting because last week we discussed that when we're looking forward, we should actually look back into what Eden was like before the fall. And that really excites me because I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, that's right. Eden lost will be Eden restored.
Amen.
In heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you study what the Garden of Eden was like, the more you'll understand what the next life was like. So people ask, you know, things like, well, will we have a job to do in heaven? Mm. Or are we just going to lay around? Well, you just look at the Garden of Eden and you realize Adam definitely had a job to do. I mean, he had work to do. And we talked about that last week. This week, we're going to get into some more questions like, will you recognize your friends and family? Are there going to be animals there? Will your pets be there? Won't heaven be boring?
Right.
Will there be sex in heaven?
Will you get a really cheap cell phone plan? Hey, man.
In heaven, every plan is $1 a month, but the service is worth $1 a month.
Oh.
No, just kidding. That would be not heaven. That would be hell.
Right.
But okay, we're going to be really talking about this. We also are going to be answering a Bible contradiction.
Right. We got plenty of questions too. So
listener questions, good stuff. Now, here's the deal. I want to read just a little bit from Luke 16.
Okay.
This is Jesus talking. He gives an analogy about what heaven is like. He says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. Kind of like Dave does.
Yeah.
At his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Kind of like me.
Right.
So you got a story here like Dave and me. This Dave's the rich man and I'm the man who dogs eat. All right. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment. Sorry, Dave. He looked up and saw Abraham.
I see what you did there.
And saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here and you're in agony. Sorry, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And besides all this, between us and you, great chasm has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so they will not come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, if they have Moses and the prophets, hey, let them listen to them.
Right.
And no, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they'll repent. He said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone raises from the dead.
And that is actual fact. People are going to believe what they want to believe, and they will attribute anything to something else.
Yeah, that's true.
If it benefits them.
What's most interesting in this parable, in this story, is the things that Jesus draws out about heaven that we can really deduct from it.
Okay.
They knew people back on earth.
Uh-huh.
They remembered things. They were able to discuss them. Now, there's some analogies you don't want to make. I really doubt people in heaven and hell are going to be able to communicate with each other like that.
Send smoke signals across the chasm.
That's right. But hey, you want to go to the edge of hell today and make fun of the people?
Right.
So, there are some limits to that.
Right.
That story. But there are some truths that we want to draw from it. And so we're going to really start by getting into some questions. And actually, you know, we're going to start with just a question that is really generic. A lot of people ask. Everyone wants to know.
Mm-hmm.
Will I recognize my friends and family in heaven?
I would dare to say so.
You think so?
I think so.
And why do you think so?
Well, because it's obvious that that Lazarus... Was Lazarus the rich man? He was the rich man.
Lazarus was the poor man.
Okay, the rich man recognized the poor man.
Yes.
Okay. And so it's not like we cross over and we automatically forget. It's like he knew who he was.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a recognition there.
Yeah. You know, when you die, there's no indication that you go through some sort of like mind transference, right, and all memories of who you are cease to exist. No, and in fact, our memories make us who we are, mm-hmm, in large part.
Right. I would say that our memories are actually a part of our soul or spirit, if you
yeah
will.
Yeah. And so we're not suggesting you lose those. In fact, from that story we just read, you see he remembers his brothers. Mm-hmm. The rich man remembers Lazarus. Lazarus remembers him. So there's no indication that you aren't going to know your friends and family. In fact, Genesis 25, verses 8 to 9. When we're asking the question, will I recognize friends and family in heaven? This verse gives us some insight to it. Listen to the latter part of the verse.
All right. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people.
Oh!
Gathered to his people.
His people!
Now, was his spirit gathered to his people, or was his body, dead body, gathered to his people on earth?
Well, okay, Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man full of years, and he was gathered to his people.
I see. So what you're saying is the personality...
The person of Abraham,
right,
which is not the same thing as the body of Abraham, right, was gathered to his people.
Right.
Personality resides in the soul. David's son died, and David in 2 Samuel 12:23 said this,
I will go to him, but he will not return to me.
All right, David planned on seeing his child again. Note this, and not just a nameless, faceless soul without an identity, but that very child.
Right.
I will go to him. Not, I'm going to go to the same place that he went to, but I'm going to him.
And he will not return to me. And that brings up another really good point.
Yeah.
That there is no coming back.
Oh!
No matter what some mediums might want to portray.
Thank you very much, Dave.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I forgot I hit on
right.
that.
He will not return to me, right? He's dead. He's in heaven. Mm-hmm. He stays there.
Right.
Jesus is talking in Matthew 8:11, says this.
It says, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, they're going to take their places with who?
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Again.
Well, you know, if we had forgotten who they were, it would have been with
some people who were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on earth, but they're in heaven, so you right. won't know them anyway.
Yeah. They'll be nameless people, folks.
No, their right. individual identities are apparent, and we will be able to sit with them.
Right.
We'll recognize them. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord. Okay, together. We are caught up together. Now, this is actually talking about something a little bit different, but the concept here is that together, we are caught up together. You're not alone. The Grace to You website, which is from John MacArthur, who we see things a little bit differently than John MacArthur.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, but a lot of times, John and I see eye to eye. So let's hear what John has to say about this.
We will be reunited not only with our own families and loved ones, but also with the people of God from all ages.
Mm.
In heaven, we will all be one loving family. The immense size of the family will not matter in the infinite perfection of heaven. There will be an ample opportunity for close relationships with everyone, and our eternity will be spent in just that kind of rich, unending fellowship.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
So are we going to know our friends and family in heaven?
Absolutely.
Abso-stinkin-lutely.
We're going to know, actually, we're going to know friends and family of our friends and family.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Are you David's cousin's neighbor's friend's aunt?
Right.
Yeah, actually, I don't think we'll, well, maybe we could do that. We'll have a lot of time to play the name game
right?
in heaven. Right?
Who art thou?
So,
are we going to speak like that in heaven?
Who are
the King James Version?
Well, duh. Of course we're going to speak thou with in King James in heaven.
Right, whatever.
Any other thing would be helleth.
Right.
That's not true.
That is not true.
Okay, so let's...
Sorry, I derailed you.
I have been dealing with these King James only people in this association I'm part of.
Right.
Some of them get really angry.
Yeah. And let's make it clear. We're not against the King James Version at all. It's just that that's not the only version.
Well, I'm against it a little bit.
A little
just
bit.
Because it doesn't have the best manuscripts available to be used.
Right. But if you're looking for nice, flowery, feel-good speech... There it is.
There we go.
Read the Psalms.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to go ahead. That's like 20,000 miles off topic.
It is. Sorry.
We're going to go ahead and answer a question.
I got a question.
All right.
All right.
Whose question am I going to answer?
Well, we're going to skip Aaron's question.
Oh, poor
we
Aaron.
Might get back to that later.
All right. This question comes from Mark.
Mark.
He wants to know, when I get my new body, will I be able to eat what I want and stay at an ideal weight?
Snickers heaven.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he's thinking.
Right.
Right.
I mean, without looking at what you put down for an answer here, I'm not sure that we will actually have unhealthy food in heaven.
Why?
Because I think as our body becomes perfect, the new heaven and the new earth will become perfect itself.
Hmm.
And therefore, the things that are on the earth will not be unhealthy per se. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
Or could I be wrong?
I don't know that. Well, let me answer the question, and that might give us a little bit closer to what you're saying.
Right. So I gave you a little bit of taste of Daveology there.
All right. Daveology. Yeah. It's similar to theology, but a little bit of a kick in the stomach first.
Right.
No. Okay. Luke chapter 24, verse 43. Jesus has risen from the dead. Mm-hmm. And listen what happens after he raises from the dead.
When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
And while they still did not believe, it was because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence.
Okay. Now, this is interesting. So, Jesus did actually eat food.
But it was broiled fish, so that was really good for him.
Oh, jeez. No, but it was probably coated in copious amounts of butter.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, we don't know. But broiled fish is probably healthy. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe broiled fish was the junk food of their day.
Mm-hmm.
But, The point here is Jesus ate real food.
Right.
Not some crazy food, but a resurrected body is going to eat real food. Eden lost will be Eden restored.
Amen.
All right. And we have the possibility of taking food, inventing new kinds of food, processing food, making it taste better.
Wow. And we're going to have billions and billions of years to do this.
That's right. But here's the interesting part. Sin is what causes gluttony.
Mm-hmm.
Gluttony is sin, so we will have no interest in gluttony.
Oh, so we will basically eat just to our content, and that's it.
Much of sin on this world is because we have wrong desires or unfulfilled desires. And so we're trying to satisfy ourselves in ways that are not appropriate.
Right.
And so what's going to happen is that I will go ahead and say that we will be satisfied fully with the proper amount of food.
Amen. Yeah, go ahead.
So to answer his question, you know, will my new body be able to eat all that I want and stay at an ideal weight? Sure, because all you'd ever want was to be fully satisfied,
right.
And you will be fully satisfied with the proper amount of food.
Right. And besides that, there is going to be so much to do. Who's going to stop and take time to eat? It'll be on the run constantly.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, but you know, one of the things that I do,
planets to go to.
I eat on this earth to be satisfied.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And if I'm not satisfied, if I'm depressed, if I'm lonely, I eat more.
Right.
You know, we're going to find true satisfaction with the right amount of food. It is going to feel good.
Amen.
And it's going to feel right.
Awesome.
When we eat the right amount of food. So the answer is yes, you will be able to eat all you want and stay at an ideal weight.
Right. Because all you want will not be too much.
Exactly. Right. All right. Let's, that was good. We're going to coming up to a break here. So I don't want to get into another person's question just yet. But we are going to come back on the other side of this break and we're going to talk about whether or not there's going to be animals in heaven. This is an interesting one.
I've been asked that one before. So
yeah. And we're going to find out that animals have souls.
Mm-hmm.
Don't crucify me yet. Animals have souls. And are they going to be in heaven though? Is your dog going to be in heaven? Is your pet platypus going to be in purgatory?
Well, you know, a little bit of a precursor here, or a little bit of looking forward, there were animals in the garden.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Dave!
Did I just let the cat out of the bag?
All right.
I let the cat out of the bag in the garden.
TruthRevolution.tv is our website. Revolution Church is our church. You've got to check them both out. Unless you already have a church, then don't check ours out. But you got to go to the website. And if you don't have a church, if you've never been in church, if you haven't been in church for a long time,
this is the place for you.
You want to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
We're here. We exist because we want to spread the news about who God and Jesus is to people who haven't been in church.
And we want to love you.
Most of the people here haven't been in church a long time. Right. So just come as you are. 9-11 on Sundays. TruthRevolution.tv will be right back. Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. Check out SalinaRevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
SalinaRevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
SalinaRevolution.com.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Jesus said in John 10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Boom! Having life to the full is God's desire for you.
So, what is the abundant life?
It's a life that finds its entire worth in, makes it mission the spread of, and enjoys ultimate satisfaction in knowing and savoring Jesus Christ.
Jesus says in Luke 9, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it."
Whoa. Jesus wants to give us a full life, not a safe life.
Jim Elliot once said, "Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus."
That's a good prayer. Not a long life, but a full one.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
Talking about heaven today and
heaven.
What the afterlife may or may not be like.
Yeah, that's right. And we're also going to do a Bible contradiction. We jumped right past that. We didn't get to it in the first section because we were talking so rapidly.
Yeah. And bunny trailing a bit, so let's try and stay on task there, Jeff.
Yeah, no more talking about King James. All right, will there be animals in heaven? Dave, you kind of gave the answer away.
Sorry, I tend to do that from time to time.
The Garden of Eden, Eden lost because of our sin,
right,
will be Eden restored, mm-hmm, in the next life.
Amen.
There were animals in Eden, so it's fair to ask, or fair to say, there'll be animals in the new world. But really, excuse me, when they say, will there be animals in heaven, most of the time people are asking two different questions. The first question they're asking is,
will Fido be in heaven?
What will heaven be like? Will there be animals? Yeah, and the second question is exactly what you said. Will my animal,
right,
be in heaven? So first, will there be animals? Just as Dave pointed out, Eden lost will be Eden restored, and there are animals in the Garden of Eden. God created a perfect world with animals, and it was perfect. So you can bet that when God fulfills his promise to regenerate this world into a new perfect world, mm-hmm, that there will be animals again.
And one of the beautiful things of our world now is to hear the birds chirping, mm-hmm, and for also to see the colorful birds.
Yeah.
And to be able to feel a fuzzy dog, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I don't really care for that so much, yeah, well, but some people do.
No, are you a cat man? Is that what it is? Or are you more of a ferret guy?
You know the difference between cats and dogs?
Mm. Are we bunny trailing again?
Yes, a dog, you pet and you give food and you love them, and the dog goes, wow, this person loves me and provides for me. This person must be God.
Right.
And the cat, you do the same thing for, and this person says, wow, this person loves me and provides for me. I must be God.
Right. Yeah.
That's that is the difference between cats and dogs. Oh, the cat people got in here too. Okay. Anyway, Isaiah 11. It's okay, cat people, chill out. Fine, cats will be not God in heaven, but they'll be there. All right, Isaiah 11. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goats. The calf and lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. The young will lie down together. Okay, and on and on. The whole point here isn't that exactly these animals are going to be in heaven. This is actually trying to teach something else, but it does give an indication. The expectation is that there will be animals there.
Yeah.
That is the expectation. Now, will your pet be in heaven? This is a little more tricky. I mean, the first thing we have to understand is animals do have souls. Now, this tends to be a little bit strange for a lot of people, but this was the Christian belief up until basically this last century. It was the historical church belief. No Christians really debated that fact.
Right.
I mean, they looked at the animal. They saw it had emotion. They saw it had life. They said, wow, that is a soul creature. From Plato to Thomas Aquinas thousands of years ago to Hank Hanegraaff, Greg Kukul, who's been on our show here, and a host of others are of the opinion that animals have souls.
Right. And, you know, we've had people on the show talking about animals that were soulish animals.
Yeah.
And those were those types.
Right, I think that was Hugh Ross from Reasons to Believe, right? And he was talking about some animals aren't soulish animals. You know, they're the cockroach he didn't think was a soulish animal. And so, you know, we don't necessarily know if that animal will be in heaven. But for the animals who do have souls, you know, think about this. Just by the way, Greg Kukul from Stand to Reason says, I can prove to you that animals have souls, and it's actually not very difficult. There are certain activities of our mental life that are clearly defined and are clearly not physical. Therefore, they cannot reside in our physical bodies. Those activities include belief, intention, desire, sensations. In other words, we experience feelings. We have beliefs about things based on how those beliefs, based on those beliefs, we may have a desire that we feel also, and that desire brings forth an intention to fulfill that desire. Mm-hmm. So he's not saying that animals have hopes and dreams of the future that, you know, like your chickens aren't going, we should really start a show called Extreme Makeover Coop Edition. You know,
nice.
No, but your animals have emotion. They express desires. If you have cats, you know very well that some cats prefer one type of food over another.
Mm-hmm.
They just do. The ability to desire and feel is what the soul does for us.
Right.
So now, here's the scary part.
Okay.
Nowhere in the scripture does it teach that animals will be raised from the dead like humans will be.
I see.
So I don't think that's something we can put our hope in.
Right. Well, now, and another thing, actually, to kind of dispel your disparity there, is that, I mean, let's be honest, the Bible is a human book. It is directed at humans. It is our future that we're looking at.
And just to be clear, when you say the Bible is a human book, you don't mean that God didn't play a part of that.
God very much played a part
in it. Those are the words of God.
Right. It is the word of God, but it's the word of God to us as humans.
Right.
It is not the word of God to Fido as a dog.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And it doesn't even teach us that Fido will be raised.
Right.
Joni Erickson Tada wrote a sentence in her book about where she basically said the same thing I just did. She said, pets will probably not be raised from the dead. But she got more angry letters about that one sentence than all of her other books combined.
That's sad.
So she took a second look and she came to a conclusion that I think is probably wise.
Right.
All right, nowhere in scripture does it promise that pets will be raised from the dead, but nowhere in scripture does it preclude that possibility either.
Right.
Will you see your pets in heaven? I think the clearest answer is this. God does not promise in scripture that our pets will be raised from the dead. But if God did, that would be keeping with his extravagantly loving nature.
I agree.
So, I don't know.
And it's okay to not know.
Right. Okay,
it'll be a nice surprise.
We're going to answer Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today brought to you by the fine folks over at answering-christianity.com.
All right.
Did Joshua and the Israelites capture Jerusalem? Okay, well, you know, the Bible does say yes in Joshua 10, 23, and 40. So they brought the five kings out of the cave, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon. I know I slaughtered those names. And basically he says, so Joshua subdued the whole region, including the hill country and yada yada. So yes, Joshua 15, 63, just five chapters later, Judah could not dislodge the Jebusites who were living in Jerusalem.
So, what?
Yeah, to this day, the Jebusites live there with the people of Judah. So
No.
Okay.
What the heck?
So, they did, and they didn't defeat all the people in Jerusalem.
Right.
All right, and our cracked acronym, C-R-A-C-K-E-D, this is how we study the Bible the right way.
Right.
The D stands for?
Dialect.
Dialect. Meaning there's different types of words, there's different types of languages, there's different expressions in language and literature. And when I say to Dave, Dave, you are hot. It changes the meaning depending upon he's singing in an air-conditioned room.
The air conditioning is on, by the way.
Or if he's singing outside and it's 110 degrees.
I would be very hot at that point.
So, right, the word hot means something different there. When we read this, and it says, he left no survivors. He totally destroyed all who breathed. Hmm. I think they're using some specific dialect there. They're using a particular type of wording to make a point. In that culture, military terminology was very, very purposefully exaggerated.
Right.
I think he's using hyperbole to make his point. Okay. Right.
It was a complete and utter victory is what they're trying to get, get through.
Imagine we did a fundraiser here at the church. We needed $10,000.
For my new Harley.
For Dave's new Harley.
Right.
And at the end of the fundraiser for Dave's new Harley, I stood in front of the church and I said, we collected every last penny in this town and we made it $10,450. And everybody was like, yeah, Dave gets a Harley.
It's a poor town.
Yeah. Well, you see, the point is... Mm-hmm. Everybody knows I didn't literally mean actually that we scraped every last penny off the sidewalk and
got... What is that word? Hyperbole?
Hyperbole. Mm-hmm. Or exaggeration, right? I made the point. We worked really hard to get this $10,000.
Right.
And they're doing the same thing. The IVP Bible commentary actually says, such statements are rhetoric indicative of military victory and could be found in Hittite, Egyptian, and Assyrian documents of campaigns. This does not suggest the account is inaccurate, deceptive, or misleading. For any reader would have recognized this well-known rhetorical style for reporting the results of this battle.
Right.
So anyone who read, when Joshua wrote it at his time, anyone who read that would have gone, wow, they really decisively won. They would not have thought that they actually killed every human being.
Right.
And so that's the answer for our Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I agree with you 100% on that one.
Really? 100%? 100. Not like 99?
Well, I might even go as far as say 101.
Dave. 1. All right. The next question we got coming up that we're going to answer is, will there be sex in heaven?
Oh.
But we have another listener question before we get to that. So what do you say we go ahead and do that one first?
I got a question.
All right.
I didn't give you much of a choice.
Yeah, I'm kind of lost here.
All right. This one's on page 4 of your notes, Dave.
Okay. First or second one?
The first page 4. Page 4A.
All right. 4A. Christy says, what will be the lowest of the low jobs? Because I'm pretty sure I have that one in the bag.
So the lowest of the low jobs in heaven.
Nice. Wow.
And Vern says?
And Vern says, what do you think the best outcome in heaven will be? The worst. What does it look like to be someone who stored up no treasures in heaven and squeaked in?
Right, Matthew 16:17. Jesus says, the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with all his angels. Then he will reward each person according to what they have done. So there will definitely be rewards for people who've done more and people who've done less. Matthew 5:19 says, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
John MacArthur, he said this.
Though offenders will be called least, they will still be in the kingdom of heaven. But blessing, reward, fruitfulness, joy, and usefulness will all be sacrificed to the extent that we are disobedient.
So there is a difference in how your heaven is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have more, some people have less. And as soon as we get offline or online only, we're going to answer this question more in detail. So if you're listening on the radio, thanks for joining us. Whether you're on KSAL, KJAL, or WTTP, or whether you're listening on the podcast, awesome. You got to get to truthrevolution.tv and listen to the full show. If you're on the podcast, it'll start in just like 30 seconds here. Watching on YouTube live, we're just going to keep driving right through. So hang in there. But get on out to Revolution Church and truthrevolution.tv. We believe that God is merciful, and we should be merciful too.
Amen.
So we don't really care what's in your past. We care that you know who God is right now.
If you only knew.
That's what we're interested in.
Right.
So, you know, Dave, you were telling me the other day that at one point you thought you'd never go back to church.
I did. I really did. I thought my past was so bad.
But you fit in here.
I do.
Come on out to Revolution Church. truthrevolution.tv.
Truth Revolution.
And we're talking about heaven.
That's right. So back to the issue, right? Some of these people will be called great in heaven. Some of the people will be called least in the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
1 Corinthians 3 gives us a really big indicator of what's going on. It says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, talking about their salvation, mm-hmm. if they build on your salvation using that, their work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Your work's going to be tested. Was it genuine or was it not? It says, if what he has built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only is one escaping the flames. Mm-hmm. So in other words, right here, it's making it very, very clear that there's going to be some people with butts smoldering,
right,
who make it into heaven.
There will be people that smell of smoke.
That's right.
Right.
They barely made it into heaven. They will have no, quote, like gigantic rewards to speak of,
right.
No large authority in heaven. And that type of person is going to get into heaven because of the grace of God, but because they chose not to live their life for God, mm-hmm. they're just going to get it. And the work that they did was done selfishly, not for the genuine glory of God or love of other people.
Right.
And so it's going to be burned up. Their works are going to be burned up. Hank Hanegraaff describes, so how does this play out in real life in heaven, in the next life, on the new earth?
All right. He says, this conjures up images of people escaping burning buildings with little more than the charred clothes upon their backs. This will be the lot of even the most visible Christian leaders whose motives are selfish rather than selfless.
That's right. Now, aren't we all going to be in the presence of God? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't we all going to be in the most amazing place, Eden restored?
Oh, yeah.
Heck, yeah. Will some of us enjoy it more than others?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, honestly, I think we'll all enjoy it just the same. Some of us may just have more stuff.
I don't think so.
Really?
I studied classical music because I'm a classically trained musician. Uh-huh. My undergraduate degree...
I see where you're going here. Go ahead.
...was in music performance. Okay? I could sit down with someone who doesn't listen to classical music, and they could listen to a song by Mozart or Bach and fall asleep
right.
out of boredom. Mm-hmm. I didn't initially like those pieces, but I was forced, in getting my degree, to not only listen to them, but to listen to them repeatedly, to study them, and then to reverse engineer them, to rewrite the music, to determine every single note in every single song, why they chose what they did. And so I appreciate this music far beyond someone who just heard it in the store during Christmas while it was played.
Right.
I even appreciate the music far beyond someone who listened to it. I appreciate the music even more than someone who listened to it and learned how to play it on their violin, mm-hmm. right? There are people who don't like the music. There are people who have heard it. There are people who enjoy listening to it. There are people who know how to play it. There are people who have memorized it. And there are people who have studied it and dedicated their lives to it. And those people understand and get more satisfaction out of it than the other people.
That makes a lot of sense.
And so in the same way, those of us who love Jesus, who dedicate our lives to Jesus, are going to get more out of his presence than those people who didn't.
Yeah, quite simply because that's the thing that we have loved.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, some people go, yeah, but heaven is so amazing. Like, it really is genuinely amazing. Like, some people think that music's boring. You can't compare that because right. heaven's not going to be boring for anyone. Well, take the analogy of Disney, right? Let's say everybody loves Disney theme parks.
Okay.
All right. It's true that some people go to Disney for a day with a normal ticket. Some people have a ticket and a fast lane express ticket.
Right.
They enjoy it more. Uh-huh. They go on more rides, right? Some people go to Disney and they stay at a 5-star hotel on the resort with a fast express ticket and they right. go for a week and a half, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Same park, exactly the same rides.
Not the same experience.
Not the same experience. And so when we go to heaven, based on what we've done on earth and whether our motives were truly for God or not, some people will experience heaven much more intensely and deeply and enjoyably than others. Now, does that mean heaven's not going to be enjoyable for some people? No, everybody loves Disney World.
Right, right. Yeah, if you're in Disney World, you're there because you love it.
You love Disney right. World. But some people are going to enjoy Disney World a little bit more. Right. You know,
that makes
like,
a lot of sense.
You ever go to the backstage during a concert?
Oh, yeah.
It's like everybody's at the concert and everybody's loving it, but you go backstage right. and you're like, dude,
this is awesome.
I got to go backstage. Right. I got to go backstage, right? right? And it just, it's that sort of idea.
Do you think we'll actually rub people's noses in it when we're in heaven? I got to stay in the throne room. Hey, where you been?
You know, actually, my theory on that is if we do tell each other things like that, dude, I got to go to the throne room. Right. And like someone else didn't go. Get to go, but I did.
It won't be out of gloating.
It won't be out of gloating, and they will actually, they won't be jealous in a bad way.
Right, they'll kind of experience it through your eyes.
They'll be like, dude, you did? That is yeah. awesome.
Right.
Kind of like when my kid does something great at school. I didn't experience it, but like I love the fact that they loved it.
Uh-huh.
And we'll be able to enjoy that for each other.
Because there will be the absence of malice and jealousy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So at Disney right now, when you see someone go through the express lane,
oh,
you're
yeah.
like, I waited 45 minutes in line. You waited 5 minutes. It kind of makes you mad.
Right.
Instead, you'll be looking at the express lane going, dude, those people are... Good job, man. Right. You get to ride this twice as much as me. That you rock. Right. You know, you'll be yeah. happy for him too. Which just kind of blows your mind because
it does,
it's just so
it's anti-human.
It is. Yeah. It's so different yeah. from our experience here. Now, a big question.
I got a question.
Won't heaven be boring?
You know, I can't even say anything about it. You know, cause I was going to try and say, well, yeah, it could be. Because we'll all have harps and sitting on clouds, but we done dusted that one
yeah,
last
I mean,
week.
This is like we've been talking about heaven like Disney World, right? Heaven, the new earth is mm-hmm. going to be real. It's going to be actual. There's stuff there that uh-huh. we can touch and feel. It's going to be real life, real flesh. It's going to be enjoyable. We're going to have jobs. We're going to experience right. stuff. We're going to learn things. It's going to be fun. But we just want to spell it a little bit more, right? People have said that heaven's going to be perfect, so it's going to be boring because an endless cycle of perfection would make everybody boring, bored with their life. If LeBron James made every basketball shot he right. ever shot,
yeah, I see what you're getting at.
He would be bored with basketball.
Right. If it was a perfect world and I couldn't miss a free throw, what's the point of doing free throws?
Exactly. But here is where we've misdefined perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect does not mean you make every shot.
Right.
Perfect means... When you miss a shot, you don't want to kill the guy next to you.
Right.
Right. It means you respond the right way with you still have joy and the ability to learn more, figure out how to make the shot better next time, uh-huh. experience it better, practice better without malice, without hatred,
you
without frustration.
You have an eternity to work on your 3-point shot.
That's exactly right. Perfection doesn't mean the ball goes in every time, but how we are affected by when right. the ball misses Amen. Is completely different. Peter Kreeft, he said, knowing everything or being able to do everything uh-huh. would be more like hell than heaven for us. For one thing, we need progress and hope. We need to look forward to knowing something new tomorrow. Mystery is our mind's food.
Right.
Heaven, there's going to be mystery.
There is. And, you know, like we were talking about last week, I mean, it's almost like this universe is our fishbowl.
Yeah.
And there will be plenty of things to explore and is not beyond God's capability
yeah.
to change things up and put something new in the fishbowl.
Very good. Exactly right. I couldn't say it better myself. So okay. we're going to go to the question everybody's been waiting for.
Dun, dun, dun.
Will there be sex in heaven?
Oh, man. All right.
All right.
Take
here,
it away,
here's
Jeff.
The deal. Here's the deal. All right. The reputation of sex in our culture has been destroyed.
It totally has.
Let me just start there. Uh-huh. All right. Many Christians today shy away from this question because it's too shameful to talk about.
Right. But God created it.
God made it. You know, Philip Yancey, he's a pretty good author. He said this, he talked about how sex is looked down upon mm-hmm. in our culture. He said, but the Song of Songs, a book in the Bible, is right. exactly that. It shows no embarrassment about lovers enjoying each other's bodies and talking about it. These lovers love to look at each other. They love to tell each other what they feel. They revel in the sensuous. The beauty of nature, the scent of perfumes and spices, they are openly erotic. Both women and men take the initiative in praising each other. They don't flirt or play games. They say what they mean. All right, sex isn't shameful in the Bible.
Right.
It's nice.
Says the man who is married.
Right. It is. It's nice if you're married, you'll experience it in its proper forms. Right. But understand this. Humans are sexual by nature. sex isn't just something you do, it is something you are, right? In our culture, we've divided sex, the act, from sex, the human male and the human female.
Mm-hmm.
We just, hey, sex is just something that happens, male, female, male, male, female, female. Like, sex is just this thing, right, yeah. Male, object. Like, it doesn't,
right.
It's just this thing that happens to your body. It's not necessarily who you are as a core being.
There's a lot of selfishness going on in sex.
And so the primary reason we can say that sex will exist after the resurrection is that sex isn't just an action, but it's an essence.
Mm-hmm.
There will be men and women in heaven.
Right.
Women will have female organs. Men will have male organs.
Right. But did Jesus not say there will be no marrying or giving into marriage in heaven?
Jesus did say there'd be no marrying. Right. Or giving in marriage in heaven. I can't speak to whether or not sex is immoral outside of marriage in heaven.
Okay.
I can't speak to that because Jesus never spoke to that.
Right.
What we know is that sex is reserved for marriage here on earth
mm-hmm.
right now. We also know that Adam and Eve were told to populate the earth.
Right.
Eden lost, but Eden restored. We're not going to need to populate the earth back at that time. But here's kind of where we go off track a little bit. We get wound up in this question of, will there be actual sex in heaven? And that isn't 100% defined for us. I would tend to say, if I had to make a guess, the act of sex, it might be in heaven.
Right.
But, you know, if you have a little boy, a five-year-old boy, and he's got a race car bed,
mm-hmm.
he loves his race car bed, yeah. right? He yeah. loves it.
I'm not giving up their race car bed for anything.
And you try to explain to him, hey, someday you're going to want to get rid of that race car bed and get a larger bed and share it with a girl. He's going to be like, what?
Right.
I ain't giving up
my race car bed for nobody.
Right. Girls are nasty.
Right.
I want my race car bed because he has no idea.
Right. And then he grows up and gets married and brings his wife to his race car bed.
And then she's creeped out.
Right.
Right. This is the thing, right? He's focused on his race car bed so much mm-hmm. that when you try to explain to him that he's not going to care about his race car bed because there's something much better,
mm-hmm.
he's like, okay, but when I get married, maybe could I bring my race car bed?
Right.
And you're like, dude, just trust me. You're not going to care about the race car bed.
Right. She'll totally dig my race car bed because I dig my race car bed.
Right.
That's totally not the case.
It's the same thing, right? We're going to heaven and we ask, will there be sex in heaven? Well, maybe. And maybe some growing ups have race car beds in their bedrooms, but that's right. weird, right? Okay, the point is there's going to be something so much better in heaven
right.
that when you think back to sex, you're going to be like, dude, that was like the race car bed when I was five.
Right, and here's the thing is that as everything else becomes perfect in heaven, that particular, the intimacy that involves will become perfect.
Very, very.
And there's, therefore, it will be a thing that is perfect and totally blow anything away that we know of it right now.
Yeah, it will be perfect. I like mm-hmm. that. The goodness that we experience in heaven will be perfect.
Right.
So, all right, we got another question sent on from YouTube Live.
Okay.
I got a question.
This is Sam. He asked, will we experience frustration in heaven?
Oh, no.
What do you think, Dave?
I think there will be some bit of frustration. I think that's one of the ways that we might grow, you know? But it won't be the same type of frustration that we have here. It'll be a type of, man, this is, it, you yeah. know, kind of like when you're mm-hmm. doing a puzzle, the Rubik's Cube, okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got a friend, and you know who I'm talking about.
I hate this thing.
Yeah. The dude can solve the Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, like in a minute.
Yeah, okay? And he'll hand it to one of us, and we will sit there and try and mess with it, and we'll get frustrated, but not in the way that makes you want to punch somebody in the face.
I don't know. The other day, I was trying to solve it.
Right, but it's more of a joyful, you know, if you're standing around the group of fans, you're like, man, I can't get this. I am
yeah.
just totally inept at it.
I understand.
And you're laughing about it, you know,
sure.
that type of thing, possibly.
Yeah, the type what of frustration, I think you're probably right, the type of frustration where you step back and go, why can't I get this? Okay, let's try this again. It's more of a momentary, let's stop and think. I need to process this in a different way.
Constructive frustration.
Right. So it depends on your definition of frustration. If by mm-hmm. frustration you mean it's going to make you angry, and make you want to quit, that's not the feeling we'll experience in heaven.
Right.
If by frustration you mean it's going to make you step back for a minute and go, I need to approach this differently, then very possibly we might experience that type of frustration in heaven. All right. Now, to the last question we're going to do today.
Okay.
How old will we be in heaven?
Well, let's see. So we're saying that, my grandfather passed away when he was in his mid-70s. My father passed away in his mid-70s.
Okay.
If I pass away tomorrow, I'll be 47.
Okay.
And so will I be the young man hanging out with the old dudes in heaven?
Well, 1,000 years from now in heaven, you'll be 1,047.
Right. That's true.
No, not really. Okay, but the question isn't cut and dry, right? It's not the easiest question to answer, and the Bible doesn't give a 100% clear answer, so it requires a little educated guessing, which we've always been fine with here. First,
never going to shy away from that.
There's a couple examples. When Jesus was physically resurrected, he was raised physically perfect, which is interesting, and our hope is to be resurrected like Jesus. Eden lost will be Eden restored. Adam and Eve were created with apparent age. They weren't created as babies.
Right.
So we can be sure that we'll have an age of sorts. We aren't going to be infants. We're also not going to be elderly. The Bible also says that our bodies won't decay or have pain or anything like that. So that's what we know for sure.
Uh-huh.
So using all those biblical examples, apply that to what we know about science and how God created us.
Right. There may be an optimum age, maybe.
Yes. God designed us. We were created by our DNA. We are programmed in our bodies so that each person, scientists know, has a, maybe we could call it an optimum age, an age where, assuming everything else is equal, you'll be the best you can be physically.
So 47.
Older people can attest to that, right? You don't work quite as well as you used to. And that's because God created us to be perfect, not to have bodies that were affected by sickness and decay. YouTube Live, someone just said, okay, when 900 years old you are, look as good you will not. Yoda. All right. Of course, Yoda probably isn't in heaven, though. That's the only problem with that thought. But all right. Hey, thanks for listening to Truth Revolution. So you'll probably be 27 years old in heaven, or look 27 years old.
You know, that's a really good age.
Sure.
You know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever your DNA maximally puts you at physically.
Right.
And of course, not everybody's going to be as physically attractive as me in heaven.
Thank goodness.
But everybody still will be able to enjoy the presence of each other nonetheless.
You are on video, Jeff.
Oh, snap. All right, truthrevolution.tv. You can check us out on YouTube Live if you can handle my good looks.
Yeah.
Get out to truthrevolution.tv every Wednesday at 5:30 if you want to join us live. Harass us, ask us questions, or just chat.
Mm-hmm.
Also, truthrevolution.tv. Get old shows, Truth Shots, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Right, you can even shoot us a donation.
A donation.
Yeah.
We need to make the show work.
Little
and
or big.
You guys make it happen with the help of God, or with God makes it happen with the help of you.
Amen.
And come on out to Revolution Church. If you haven't got a home church of your own, guys, we'd love to have you. Great week. God bless.